Now have our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor, stopping by after practice. A late one, too, because we're going to play some audio from Clark Hunt. I know you guys were talking to the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
He just told us where they were going to build it? Announce the plans?
Let me see. The one quote I saw that Cody and I were like, okay, yeah, was, our preference is to renovate Arrowhead if we stay in Missouri. Well, yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
We all knew that.
Yes.
We've been knowing.
What else stood out from him, I guess? Anything else? And we can get into some football
stuff
specifically.
Stop thinking. You know, there's been some discussion internally. I guess I'll share this now. But there's been some discussion internally about the airport and staying on the Missouri side. And could you somehow get closer to downtown, somewhat closer to, you know, the airport? Because if you look at, you know, SoFi specifically, hey, that's pretty close to the airport. If you look at Los Angeles, well, obviously right off the strip to a degree, but close to the airport. So
yeah, pretty close.
You know, I still think Clark specifically, and I mean that very seriously, I think Clark specifically would like to see Arrowhead renovated if, you know, it was viable. The question is, and I think I know the answer, as of right now, it doesn't seem that viable.
The appetite doesn't feel that strong for it.
So?
We'll see.
It doesn't sound like we're going to know anything official before the start of the season. I think that's what we learned today.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Donovan a week ago, Chiefs team president, said, hey, look, thank God for the extension in Kansas, and we'll talk about that later. Well, now Clark Hunt has just said, look, you're not going to know anything unless something crazy happens before the start of the season, right? So if we don't know anything before the start of the season, as I asked him, well, what is – I hate to put you on a deadline, sir, but – you are under deadline. So what are we talking when we say urgency? Now, I think that's pre-Christmas.
Okay.
Based on his answer today, that appears to be somewhere in the range between, and I'm inferring at this point, somewhere between Halloween and Thanksgiving. Just slide it right in there. Present your news. If you want to go to Kansas, guess what? Did an election just pass? Well, wouldn't you know it? We could make some moves now, given how long the extension is. But also, and this is to Clark Hunt's credit, he acknowledged, man, it's a five-year plan, dog. And I'm looking at my watch, and it says it's 2025. I only got it through 2030. So I need to know what I'm doing.
Clock's ticking.
5 years out, which tells me, yes, Christmas at the latest, the preferable range would probably be Halloween to Thanksgiving. Preferably closer to Thanksgiving, because then you get out of election swings.
You mentioned that maybe in the past there was some speculation about near the airport and everything. If that happens, by the way, are you just going to move to in between St. Joe and the airport? And because you're going to be spending, we're up here for a month.
You're up here for a month
in St. Joe. You might as well just move to Platte City.
You can come be my neighbor, because I tell you right now.
If anybody wants to reach out to Nate Taylor of ESPN before the interest rates continue to skyrocket, let me know, because technically – a lot of people know this, but like I'm on Kansas side. I'm on the side with the inside track with the money. I live in Overland Park, so.
You just said there. Do you think Kansas still has an inside track?
Okay. Yes. Who can give them the most money?
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you.
Let's just be specific, guys. Who can give them the most money? I didn't want to ask.
Donovan had to say he'd have moved there a year ago.
Correct. I didn't want to ask about the dome because I've already reported that, ladies and gentlemen. Clark Hunt wants a dome. Okay. If he cannot get Arrowhead, wants a dome. You cannot get a dome in Missouri. I know Mayor Q was out here, love him to death.
I did see him up there.
What can he say?
He keeps talking about some like mystery money faucet he can turn on, and it just like with nothing to show for it. Be like
without a vote,
just dangling
without a vote. And
I know. I don't know what it is.
The other thing too, and I'll give Mayor Q this. Look, man, I don't want to lose. I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to get people together, which not every Missouri politician can say that.
No.
And, look, man, look how much we've done in the city, and you guys have been a part of it, and we can continue this. But who has the power? I hate saying this.
Yeah.
Because I love my city. I'm from Kansas City. Kansas City's home. The mayor has no say in this anymore.
Yeah, he's kind of.
Does
the
governor even have anything to say at this point, considering that he had to make them do a special session?
He's at least he got don't got juice no, to do that.
He got the juice to do that, but he don't have. Who is in power? It's not y'all anymore. Okay, yeah. Whatever the thing I've come to the
when the vote failed, you didn't get a say as much.
My conclusion is, if I can leave everybody with this, is the Chiefs will get what they want. I don't know if you could say that about the Royals.
When you look at the – let's talk about the on-field part of it. A couple of things. Let's talk about the thing that stood out at least right away.
Sure.
Josh Simmons is bullying people. He's shoving people to the ground. Put Creed Humphrey on his ass, which I don't know that happens very often ever in this scenario. He is obviously a physical freak of nature.
Yes.
Now, Matt Nagy
yes.
did say he is screwing up some communication stuff now.
Right,
which I don't think is crazy for a rookie or anything outside of that.
Right.
Was that any part of his scouting, though? Was, like, that part of his game ever a question about – because I still argue that, like, if he was the dream perfect candidate other than the injury, he'd have gone higher than even 31.
Right.
So there must have been other parts of his game that were concerning other than an injury. Was that part of it? Just like the communication end or like the, you know, I'm just asking.
I think there were some competition issues because given where they were in Ohio State's schedule, he didn't get Oregon a second time.
Yeah, okay.
The injury happened with Oregon, right? The best team he may have faced, I believe, was Iowa. So, now again, Ohio State was so good, they just blitzed everybody.
Yeah,
but it's like, hey, it would have been nice to see you against Texas. It would have been nice to see you against, you know, Oregon a second time. Because when those happen, NFL scouts really like the idea of like, well, hey.
NFL players.
Yeah, this is an NFL player. This is a rematch. Hey, this is late in the season. Let's see how you perform. So, I think those were some of the things that scouts were like, man, it would have been nice to have that in our evaluation report. But, man, from raw skill talent, the strength. The flexibility, the fact that he's rehabbed this well to come back this clean, I don't even think about – like, I think today was the first day I didn't think about the knee. Not once. Not once today did I see him in the one-on-one periods, in the team periods where I said, oh, man, how does his knee hold up? No, he's telling Mike Dana, good try. Really good try.
That's stood him up.
That's a good
he
try.
Just didn't move.
That's a really good try. He's telling Ashton Gelati, hey, man, I am in a actual camp battle. You are a rotational guy. There's a difference.
He put him on his ass, too.
Put him on his – I mean, threw him like he wasn't an NFL player.
Just tossed him to the side. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, joining us here live from St. Joe after camp. On the offensive line on the right side, we see Juwan Taylor obviously off the pup list. That happened yesterday. This is now day two. He's out there. He's working with Jalen Moore also as first string right tackle. Is that a real competition, or is this we know Juwan Taylor. We know what we're getting from him.
Yep.
Jalen Moore could play this year right tackle if somebody gets hurt.
Right.
But he also has a decent chance to be our starting right tackle in 2026.
Correct.
Because I think people want to – it's nice to say, like, just give me the best five. That money doesn't matter.
Right.
But, one, we don't know if Jalen Moore is better than Juwan Taylor. In fact, right this second, I would say he's not. And then there is still $27 million going against the cap for Juwan Taylor. He's going to be the starter week one.
I think that's what he was trying to tell Andy Heck yesterday.
Okay.
Hey, I put it on Twitter that, like, you know, Juwan Taylor – comma, savvy veteran, just miraculously returns on the day of first day of pads and then berates Andy Heck to say, I'm the starter. I want all my reps. None of this, like, let's ease him into it.
You think he was fighting for his own position?
Yes.
He's not trying to lose footing.
No, at all. And he's.
I think it should be an open competition for what it's worth. And I think in a fair world.
And I think that's
made the best man win.
I read Andy Heck's mouth. Trust me. Just trust me on this, okay? We got to see what he looks like in our offense. We signed him. Like,
we paid him $20 million.
Just trust me.
$30 million. $30 million.
Now, again, Andy Reid is a traditionalist. We all understand that. So, hey, who's the first guy out there on the first team period or the first group install? Well, clearly it's Juwan Taylor. So he's still, as of right now, the starter until proven otherwise. But, yeah, it's a competition. There's more of a competition at right tackle than at left tackle.
Sure looks like it,
we
opened
the show talking about that. Which
unbelievable!
Is like, I wouldn't have thought that two months ago.
I mean, I understand we have to see this thing through camp and ultimately how he plays week one. But, like, as of right this second, their medical staff, what they were told and all that, like, they look great right now because there's got to be some teams out there. I'm not saying he would have been the first offensive lineman off the board, but there's teams out there that got to be saying, what do we miss? The Chiefs were not the only team that needed a tackle in the draft, okay?
Right.
So, I mean,
the Houston Texans are the team that I'm thinking, as you're describing that, Alex, you saying, like, there's got to be teams. I'm like, the Houston Texans are a good team. They will make the playoffs, most likely. Like, if you want to compete and go up to that next step, hey, getting out of the division round is real simple when you have a left tackle who's on a rookie contract. Like, if I was the Houston Texans, I'd be very furious given the fact that we may have to see them, I don't know, at Arrowhead in another division round game, and their offensive line could be, you know, for all intents and purposes, better this coming January than it even was last January.
What about left guard? We were saying, like, guard is hard to judge at camp. And,
right.
I mean, it's one thing even try to judge tackles, let alone guard. But people are asking us about, like, how does Kingsley look? Nobody's talking about that. What have you heard? What have you seen? You were here yesterday. We weren't,
yeah.
Obviously.
Mike Pinnell just told us in the media tent that he can tell that Kingsley's stronger, that he's got a bit of more of an anchor. I think Kingsley, we all fell in love with Kingsley last year because he was so athletic. So it meant,
yeah,
like, oh, that means you can do more things in the screen game. You can do more toss plays, more stretch plays. Hey, let's run some more outside zone. Let this man get to the second level. And then we all forgot, oh, yeah, he needs to be strong to hold up against Trey Hendrickson. So, hey, Trey Hendrickson, not in the league right now, he's not going to be rushing you from the interior most often. So, hey, the question now becomes, I think you're fine in the passing game with Kingsley. It's about the run attack. And so Mike Pinnell telling us that, hey, you could tell Trey Smith is trying to get that dog, that nastiness out of him, especially when we get to these 9-on-7s out here when you're trying to run and you're trying to create a hole for Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco. Yeah, it doesn't look great right now, but I think if you're a fan and you care about Kingsley Suamataia, those first two preseason games, I really want to identify what does he look like in the running game. How much can he move a defensive tackle who might be, you know, bigger than him, but can you and Creed work on the double teams? Can you get to that second level? Can you show off that athleticism the way Trey Smith can? Because I think based on what I've seen so far, it's going to be a lot easier for him in pass protection as guard instead of being at tackle.
Do you think part of their plan for when Rashee Rice is out with suspension to just use Tyquan Thornton as a natural outside wide receiver?
Yes.
Because it does seem like in practice,
yes,
that would be my assumption, is that,
yes,
Thornton has a chance to get some early season reps as an outside guy, even more so than it feels like than Juju so far in the early going, as far as,
well,
just the, like, he's a standout outside wide receiver,
yep,
and we can go have him run routes out there and do our thing. Maybe he's not the target monster by any means, but,
right,
like, he's the outside guy is what it feels like.
Yeah, a viable option. So what you're wanting now, and I think what we're seeing so far into camp is, okay, Juju is our Rashee Rice insurance. We saw that during the,
yeah,
postseason, at least the first two games against the Texans and the Bills. And now we're understanding that Tyquan Thornton could go into the inside if necessary. But, hey, you also have Jalen Royal, so you want to get him in the mix as well. So, hey, learn from Rashee, learn from Juju. Hey, can I just throw you like a fade ball? Can I throw you like a back shoulder? Can I throw you a jump ball? Tyquan Thornton can do that, and let's just say he's a more reliable option, it appears right now, than Justin Ross was last year. I get the sense that when Rashee gets suspended, which will probably be in early August, okay, if it's four games, if it's six games, again, I go back and forth with Adam Schefter about this. That's the hilarious thing now. I can just text
you're
this,
like, hey, Adam.
I can just text this man and be like,
that phone right there, it's this phone, folks, right? That phone, there's a lot right there.
I think it's four. He's like, it could be six. He's like, all right, well, we'll see. If it's four, I want to be optimistic for my hometown, but if it's four games, okay, I can trust Juju. I can trust Jalen Royals for a snap here and there. And by God, at least we have Tyquan Thornton who can be a true outside so that we can move Xavier Worthy inside if we need to. Or, hey, Hollywood Brown, we could do some, you know, trips sets where Tyquan is the first guy up, clearing out some space for Hollywood Brown in the intermediate area.
Best case scenario is still Justin Watson, though, right? I mean,
and
300 yards.
And they signed him because they signed him in the middle of the last season because they're like, hey, Justin Watson will not be here. And can you be better than him if we give you, like, a full offseason to develop? You're younger. You're just as talented. You were a second round pick.
Yeah. Block and.
Yeah, exactly.
Right around.
Exactly. So I think he's on the team. There's no question about that anymore. It's about who do you prefer between Sky Moore and Nico Remigio?
Before he lets you go.
He does way more than
I would absolutely agree with that. No, totally. I don't think.
I'm just asking the question.
No, that's fair. I'll tell you right now. Dave Tobe has to answer that question. I know he's answering too.
Dave Tobe told us that yesterday.
Yeah, it's Remigio. We know the answer. Lastly, before you go, we had Isaiah Pacheco on the show.
Awesome.
Earlier, we were asking him about just the offseason, because this is the first camp he's had since his rookie year that he didn't have any sort of injury coming in.
Like, yes,
like right. Fully available. Last year, he had the shoulder or whatever, yellow jersey. What do you expect out of him? Like, I think what happened with the fan base, of course, he got hurt. Kareem Hunt had a nice couple weeks and helped him out.
Yep.
Pacheco comes back, didn't look right. We even asked, like, how close to 100% were you?
Zilch.
He claimed, like, he's like, I was pretty close. That's what he said.
Come on.
Think he was.
Thank you, sir.
But heading into this season, if he's 100%, he's heading in, are fans going to get reminded of, like, okay, this guy, like, nobody's saying he's Saquon Barkley, okay? But he can be a guy that has 900 yards again? Or you don't think that's possible anymore?
No, I think it's possible. It's good that he was with you guys, and I think he's probably a little bit more comfortable. When we saw him in the tent earlier into camp, you know, he still said, hey, I want 1,000 yards, and that is great. I just want you to get through this season, right? Because he's still in this weird range where it's like, I want to prove statistically durability that I can do it, right? In my mind, it's like, you were a phenomenon your rookie season. You've kind of already proven that. I want people to go back and just watch the 2023 postseason. He was amazing. It was a three-person offense. It was Travis, please save us on third down. It was, hey, Rashee Rice, hallelujah. We have another receiving option. And it was, can we give this guy the ball 25 times and he's not going to fumble? He's going to run through your face. He's going to be amazing in between the tackles, and he's going to salt games away against Buffalo. He's going to salt games away against Baltimore. He doesn't have to prove anything to me. So I would like
when him healthy,
to,
he plays.
I would like to focus. Well, I would like him to focus on, how do I get better from between now and January? Because all that matters is I'm good in January. I'm in rhythm. I'm within the structure of the offense. I've improved. Forget the statistics, man. That's out the window. You're in the last year of your rookie contract. Like, you will have as many opportunities as you can to succeed. But I the more I thought about it, I was just like, 1,000 yards don't mean diddly doot to you right now, dude. What matters is proving how valuable you were, like you did in 2022, in 2023, and you can do it again. Nobody cares about your stats. They don't love you because you got 1,000 yards. They love you because you ran your mother bleep off and you were productive when it mattered most. That's what you should focus on.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, appreciate you stopping by. A nice, cool practice today.
Which means the Suns.
Tomorrow, no pads, Suns, right? Or will they go three straight days?
Sometimes Andy goes three straight days. Okay. And for Josh Simmons, let's see you push through this mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three straight days and his knee's good, then I'm done. I'm done.
Right? Andy, please give us one more day of pads. Then you can taper down.
Yeah. You can cool off. They got a Thursday off day.
Exactly.